Gracias por escuchar este mensaje de Comunidad de Fe Cancún. Si quieres saber más acerca de nuestra iglesia o donar a nuestros ministerios, ingresa a comunidaddefe.com.mx/donativos.
¿Qué tal, querida familia de Comunidad de Fe? Me da muchísimo gusto que una vez más hayan conectado con nosotros. Quiero darles la bienvenida a todas las personas que nos ven a través de internet en todos los lugares que nos vean del mundo. Les mandamos un abrazo caluroso. Los extrañamos mucho a la familia aquí en Cancún. Pero bueno, miren, antes de iniciar el día de hoy, precisamente quería decirles que no tenemos todavía una fecha de reapertura. Habíamos planeado una fecha a mediados de julio, pero la realidad es que hay un rebrote muy fuerte aquí ahorita en Cancún que nos hace pensar que no sería lo más responsable. Ya tenemos todos los protocolos de seguridad implementados, ya estamos listos para abrir de acuerdo a lo que el gobierno nos pide, ya lo podríamos hacer, pero no queremos ponerlos en riesgo. Así es de que hasta nuevo aviso, vamos a continuar comunicándonos en línea, vamos a seguir mandando nuestros mensajes y vamos a tener nuestras actividades y ya les avisaremos con anticipación. Conforme vayamos viendo las cosas, pues les vamos dando información. También quería avisarles que el miércoles que viene, el miércoles 8, es nuestro segundo aniversario de entrada a nuestro edificio. Y entonces vamos a tener una noche de adoración, la vamos a tener en línea y va a ser transmitida por YouTube, ¿okay? Porque como es música, la mayor parte de lo que vamos a hacer, Facebook no nos lo permite por derechos de autor. Entonces el miércoles a las 8 de la noche, nos vemos en YouTube para tener una noche de adoración, de oración, de alabanza. Vamos a celebrar al final la cena del Señor todos juntos. Vamos a agradecerle a Dios por el milagro que hizo cuando nos regaló este edificio. ¿Okay? Bueno, miren, hemos estado pidiéndole a nuestro pastor Mark Shook, al pastor de nuestra iglesia en Houston, que así como yo predico mensajes para ellos de vez en cuando, queríamos que él predicara un mensaje para que se los mandaran, o sea, nos lo mandara para que lo escucháramos nosotros y lo conocieran un poquito mejor. Así es de que esta semana precisamente nos mandó un mensaje. Él estuvo predicando allá ahorita en relación a cosas que están sucediendo, no nada más con la pandemia, sino con todos los movimientos sociales que están sucediendo, y entonces nos mandó un mensaje que está muy relacionado con esos puntos, ¿okay? Así es de que sin más ni más, los dejo con Mark Shook.
Hola, comunidad de fe, ¿cómo están todos? I'm so excited to be able to talk to you from Houston today. I just so love your pastor, Marco, his wife, Karina. They're some of Laura and my best friends in the entire world, on the entire planet. I know it's been some crazy times, but I want to talk to you today about the future and what that's going to look like. I know that you're right there in your home again. What a crazy week this has been. And I know that a lot of us are experiencing all kinds of emotions. I wanted to talk to you about what do you do when you're in the middle of fear, when you're in the middle of maybe a battle, when you're in the middle of things that don't seem to make a whole lot of sense. One of the things that God tells us that he wants us to do is to remember. In fact, God says, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. It's so important that we do that. It's been kind of an interesting week in the sense that you see all of the statues being toppled and the memorials to different things. And, you know, I think that when we tear down the monuments to the past, that I have some concern with that. You know, some people are going, well, it's the story. It's not a good story. It's whether it's a racist story or whatever. But I think that it could be a little bit more nuanced even than that. Because even some of those that really aren't the story we might want to tell, when they're up and your children say, what is that about? We have the chance to tell them the story, whether it's a good story or a bad story, or it's a story that is, you know, really on our hearts to share. I think that it's hard for us in America today to really think sometimes in the sense that things are complicated. In fact, when you look at each one of those monuments, when you look at each one of those things, their story behind them is, it's complicated. It's not easy, and we like things to be formulaic. You know, we don't really enjoy those difficult, complicated issues. I know that I saw today that next week Antifa is wanting to tear down the Emancipation Memorial with Lincoln and the freed slave. That's kind of looks like he's kind of bowing down to Lincoln, but it actually, it's a really nuanced story, and it's really hard to just look at that statue and get the whole story. But there's a story behind it. If we know that story, it's such a story to tell our kids about what God did in the midst of a movement that freed a people. The Minnesota philosopher Jesse Ventura said this. He said, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, I don't think Jesse was the first one to say that. But I believe it's true. If we don't learn from history, we might be doomed to repeat it. History professors chimed in on why the study of history is important. Let me just read you some things that they said. The main reason to study history is so that you find out all the facts for yourselves. If you don't study history, you won't know when someone is misleading you. People always have their own version of the facts. It's important that you know for yourself. Another history professor said, I believe the single most important reason to study history is that history teaches us to think. Looking at humanity and humanity's reflection, whether it's good or bad, is always enlightening. And memory is a wonderful thing, but it fades so quickly. Doesn't it seem like about the time you get your face cleared up, your mind goes, you know? And when you're just a human being, two elderly women were at church, and one of them was talking to the other one, and she said, oh, I'm just so embarrassed. I hate this getting older. Tell me your name. I've known you all my life, but I just can't think of your name. What is it? The second elderly lady thought for a minute, and she said, do you need an answer right now? You see, what we do is we have this tendency to forget, don't we? It's a human thing to forget. There's a startling fact. We forget 92% of the information we take in during our lifetime. If you think about that, I read a study that said that each of us take in enough information in our lifetimes that it would fill up the U.S. Library of Congress 10 times. But 92% of that we forget. And God knows how easy it is for us to forget. But see, God doesn't ever want us to forget what He's done, who He is. Unfortunately, we tend to remember our failures far more than God's faithfulness. We remember tragedies and forget about triumphs. We remember hurts done to us so much more than blessings. And since the Lord knows that to be the case, He says, here's something I need you to do. I want you to do. Last week, we studied in the book of Joshua how the children of Israel went across the Jordan. It was this amazing miracle as God said, put the priest out front, and I want them to step in the water. When they step in the water, I'm going to work a miracle. And they stepped in, and 26 miles upriver, He stopped the water. And eventually, it drained all the way down. They walked across. But in the midst of this, because God knows how easy it is for us to forget, the Lord instructs Joshua to select 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes, to go down into the river, and each one was to pull up a big boulder, put it on his shoulder or on his back, and carry it to the base camp. See, God wants us to go to the trouble of establishing historic markers in our lives. And I mean, notice I said go to the trouble because, I mean, these were boulders. These guys had to carry these boulders, but God said, this is important. It's really important. These stones are to make a monument of remembrance. So let's look at that in Joshua chapter 4. We'll start with verse 8. So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe. Just as the Lord had told Joshua, they carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. So as they're crossing, see them crossing, and it's dry because God has done this amazing miracle. The priests are standing in the middle of the of the river. They've got the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulder, which is God's presence, signifies God's presence. And he says, go back down right where the priests are, right there in the middle of this mile-wide raging thing that was there before. Now it's just dry, a little muddy maybe, but dry. And get some boulders and take them out of the middle of the river. So these 12 guys, they do that. They grab them, they take these boulders, and they take them to base camp. But there's something else interesting that happens here too in verse 9. It says, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. Well, it seems a little confusing. Well, did they take them back to base camp, or did they set them up in the middle of the river? No, here's what happened. God said, I want you to get 12 men, get the big boulders, take them to base camp, make a monument. But you know what Joshua also did? Joshua went down himself and he picked up some big rocks, 12 big rocks. For Joshua himself was doing it, and he set them down in the middle of the Jordan, and he made a little monument right there in the middle of that dry riverbed that was getting ready to flood again as soon as God let it go. And he made a monument, a personal monument to the Lord. You know, I think it's interesting. One of those was for everyone to see, to remember. The other was just between Joshua and the Lord, because no one was going to see that. It was going to be underwater in the middle of the river. I believe there to be memorials in our lives that are public. We can say to the world, this is what God did. And then there are some that are private, just between you and the Lord, as he does some awesome work deep in your life, but maybe he just says, just hold on to that. That's just for you and me. See, sometimes God, he's going, this is just for you and me. This isn't for the world to know. I know it's amazing. I know you want to share it with the world, but this is just for us. And it's just an amazing thing that he does sometimes deep in our hearts. Why 12 stones? Why 12 stones? Well, there's 12 tribes of Israel. And these 12 stones are to be a signal, a sign to the children of Israel that they're being fit together in one monument, just as those 12 tribes are being fit together as one people, as one nation, a people joined together in strength under the leadership of their God. It reminds me of something that Peter said about believers, about the church. In 1 Peter 2:5, he said, all of you are being built up as this holy temple. You're living stones, and each of you are placed in just the right place, next to each other, by each other, as you're fitted together into this amazing monument to God. Just as the 12 stones were to represent the nation of Israel joined together as one, so the church is to show God's great glory as we are united as one. And I think that's a great word to us right now, because the word that you would say if you look at the United States right now is divided, right? Everything is divided. All of us, we seem like there's so many things between us. And God's going, no, not my church though. Whatever it takes, church, I want you to be united. I want you to be united under me. And he gives us the ability to actually do that. He gives us the ability to forgive hurts. He gives us the ability to say, I'm sorry. He gives us that ability to humble ourselves and seek each other's best interest. And I think it's really a word to us right now as his church. This is our chance to shine. The nation is divided. I want us as community of faith to be more united than we've ever been. You know, the rocks in and of themselves are, well, plain rocks. I mean, they just, yeah, they're just big old chunky boulders. But when you attach the story to them, they become treasures. These stones embody an important memory. They're the touchstones of something pointing to something amazing that happened. God was saying, I don't just want you to remember, I need you to remember. And you're going to need to remember this significant piece of history, the events, the people, the places that point us back to him. God wants us to remember these special, significant pieces of our history. And I'm talking about our personal history now. In your life, when God worked, monuments of remembrance are important. Those personal ones that are deep inside of you that you don't forget. Those that are there that are public that your children and the next generation can see. Let's go on. Then Joshua in verse 21 said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? And you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes. And he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. Your children are going to ask. The next generation is going to ask, what does this mean? What is the meaning of this? You know, I love children. I love their innocence. I love their giggles. I love just the way that they see life even. And when you're around a child for a while, you suddenly start to see life differently. But one of the endearing qualities about them, and maybe a little bit on your nerves if you're a mom or a dad that stays home with them all the time, is their ability to ask questions, right? I mean, I don't have a lot of answers to their questions because their questions are questions like, how high is up? And how far is there? And one little kid asked one time, why is Friday? Which is a pretty good question, except my question would be, why is Monday probably, you know? But why these questions, maybe you heard the story, I think my kids probably had a dad like this. The story of the little boy asked his father, how tall is the Eiffel Tower? And his father said, well, I don't know, son. Don't have any idea. And the boy said, how far is it from here to China? And he said, really, I don't know, son. How deep is the deepest part of the ocean? And his father said, I really don't have any idea. And the little boy said, daddy, how? Oh, never mind. And his dad said, that's all right, son. Ask questions. It's the only way you're going to learn. God knows that our kids ask questions. He said, I want you to build some monuments, some stories into your life that you share with them, that you share down generation after generation after generation, so that your children can know what I've done for you, so that your children can know the difference that I've made in your life. God is deeply concerned that the next generation learns about him. And this best happens to us as parents. Laura, for example, seeing her daddy have his time with God every morning. He was a busy man, a successful businessman, and close to being a workaholic. And except every morning he would get up, he would sit in his easy chair early in the morning, and he would read his Bible and he would pray. And she saw that every day, and she knew this was important. For us, you know, long trips, we would always stop and pray before we left and say, God, just protect us. Put your angels all around this car. If we were driving in a car, our kids would always hear that. And it got to where when we would pull out, you know, they would ask if we're going on a trip, you forgot to pray. Oh yeah. So we'd pull over and remedy that, you know, and then right after that, they'd say, are we almost there? But it's important that they see these things and they learn by repetition. A lot of times a new parent will ask me, how many times do you have to say the same things for your kids to get it? And my answer is always, well, way more than you wish that you had to do it, because you have to do it over and over and over. You have to do it until it's a habit. Why did they set up these monuments? They set them up for their kids. They set them up also, verse 24, it says, he did this, God did this, so that all the nations of earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever. They set the memorial stone so that they might fear the Lord their God forever. You see, God was going, I don't want you to fear your enemies. I don't want you to fear those giant fortified cities. I don't want you to fear anyone but the true and living God. When you get discouraged, Israel, children of Israel, in the days ahead, as you face 32 kings in your conquest of the land, I want you to come back and touch these stones in between each battle, because God is just as real as these stones. Remember what he did, how he worked that miracle as you crossed the Jordan. Because see, God knew as they took Canaan, there would be blessings and there would be battles. On the other side of the Jordan, as they're crossing, they come up, there's the giant citadel of Jericho that we talked about last week. War's about to begin. Blessings and battles go hand in hand for God's people. And here's the thing, you know, they had some amazing victories. We talked about how they marched around Jericho and that impregnable city that no one could take. It fell and God did this amazing victory. And then they went back to the memorial stones at base camp and they just said, this God of ours, he's amazing. He's done all of these things. Then they got a little bit cocky, I guess you would say. They thought, well, hey, we took Jericho. I think we can look at the next place. And they looked and it was this little bitty town, didn't have a wall, anything. It's called Ai. And they came back and the army officers all said to Joshua, they said, hey, we don't even need to send the whole army. This one's a piece of cake. Why don't you just send a few hundred of us and we'll go out and take this one. And they were routed. They had a terrible, I mean, what ended up finding out, there was some sin in the camp, some people that had disobeyed God after Jericho, and God wasn't in the middle of that battle with them. And they went back and they had to go back to those stones and say, God, what's going on? You said you're gonna be with us. You said you're gonna go with us. And when they saw those stones in the midst of their discouragement, they knew he was with them. He was still there. Yeah, they had abandoned him for a moment, but he never abandoned them. He was still there. He was still working. Maybe it took them all the way back to the great story that they had heard all of their life about Moses at the burning bush. You know, one of the things I like about that story, Moses at the burning bush, God says, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And then he mentions one other, Isaac's son. And you remember the story of Isaac's son? Jacob had been the deceiver, the manipulator. He was trying to work out his own life for himself and doing all these things. And he got into all kinds of trouble. And then one night he wrestled with God himself. He wrestled with an angel, but it was God. And God named him a new name at the end of that. As he came to the end of himself, he said, you're not the manipulator, Jacob. That's what that means anymore. I'm changing your name to Israel, which means Prince of God. So when Moses, all those many years later, he's standing at the burning bush, I would have thought that God would say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. But that's not what he said. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, he was still Jacob's God, even when Jacob was in the midst of all that manipulation, when Jacob was in the midst of all of those things that he was trying to work out, God was still God. And he said, I'm still here. I'm just waiting to be found by you. Just return to me. Just come to me. I'm here. And I love that, because maybe you've been in the middle of just some horrendous defeat. Maybe as you've looked around at all that's going on between, you know, the virus and everything else, it's just like, I am just freaking out. I'm just so worried. What's happening? What's going on in our country? What's going on in our health? What's going on in our economy? What's going to happen? And you've just found yourself back in that worried state that just used to be who you were all the time. Remember, God's right there. He's still there. And he still loves you just as much in the midst of your fear and your worry. He loved Jacob just as much when he was the manipulator as when he became the Prince of God. But it's amazing as we pour ourselves into God, as we seek after him, how he changes us and how he works in our lives. So even if you're feeling defeated right now, God's still God. He's still on his throne. Even if you feel like he's a million miles away, like Jacob did at different times in his life, he's saying, I'm still here. I'm still God. I'm not going anywhere. Your feelings will be all over the place, but I am God. Every time they came back to base camp, they saw this stack of stones, and they were to remember that it was a memorial, a provision. The pillars in the Jordan and at base camp, they would remind Joshua whenever he got discouraged that God was still on the stone. They were gonna frame tomorrow. They were gonna frame the story that brings our todays into our tomorrows, to remind ourselves of the story that God is writing with our lives, his faithfulness, his love, his strength, His power in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our toughest battles. I want you to build your own stories against forgetfulness. Let me ask you, do you know someone who like holds the tangible proof of their memories, who saves birthday cards and graduation cards and programs and notes and letters from friends and, you know, phone bills, I don't know, everything. You know, they just seem like they call that person a hoarder. No, not really, they don't. But you know them, they save everything and they look back over that. God says there's a sense in which in your Christian life, your Christian pilgrimage, I want you to do some of that. Laura, you know how she does it? She does it by journaling. I think it's a great way to do it. She has a journal and every day she writes down her prayers and her prayer requests. And then she remembers to go back, which I'm so bad about sometimes, I forget that God answers the prayer that I prayed 3 months before, but I don't even recognize it, I don't remember it. And she'll go back and look at those prayers she prayed and then she'll see all the answers that God gave. And it's so encouraging. In fact, her book, Forever Hope, that so many of you have read, it really was just her journal as she traveled through cancer those years ago. It's the journal of a little girl who didn't understand if she was gonna live or die because she had like a 50-50 chance either way. And how she walked with God each step of that way and the times that she failed and the time that she was angry and the times that she was scared. And when she was getting ready to write her story, I said, you should just use the journal because I love it. It's like you don't know how it's going to end and they can live each day with you. And that's what's been so helpful for you guys when you read that. Last night or a few nights ago, I dedicated a friend of mine, Rod's, his new office and his building this week. He built a new building for his company and it was my privilege to get to dedicate that. But he took me upstairs to his office and in his office was this amazing painting. In fact, here, I think I've got a picture of it. And he said, this is my memory stone, basically. This is what I remember that God has done. He said, I watched a young woman paint this. She was rescued out of trafficking. And she said, it was just a dark canvas. And she said, this was what my life was like. And then she just began to paint with both hands, with the paintbrush. The cross came up and you can see it right there in the middle of that. And then slowly around the cross came those eyes and that face of Jesus. And the eyes just kind of catch you, looking at you with eyes of love. And he said, it's in my office looking at me. And I remember every time what God has done for me and how he's allowed me to make an impact in others' lives to rescue them. And it's because he rescued me. And he just said, it's just this circle. And I remember it every day. And when people come in, I can't help but share it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Joshua is saying, keep telling the stories so you don't trivialize God or your relationship to him, so that your own sense of awe and wonder and reverence is deepened and strengthened the more you hear them. I mean, we do forget things, right? But we don't forget pain so quickly as joy. We don't forget those that bless us. I mean, we don't forget those that injure us as quickly as those that bless us. And God is saying, you need to have some stories that you tell. What's the story you're telling yourself? Don't you remember what I've done for you? Look back and see that. Psalm 103:2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. I don't know about you, but I'm really good at forgetting his benefits. God's faithfulness in the past reminds us to trust him in the present. You know, some mornings when I go online, Facebook, I'll get on every once in a while. Don't message me on Facebook. I don't see that very often. But I'll get on there every once in a while and it'll go back. It has these memories, you know. Have you seen that? Where it goes back and it grabs something from a few years back. And, you know, I look at those kind of things that I've posted in previous years, or usually Laura actually has posted for me. But they might be photos like my children's weddings or my grandkids being born or as newborns. And they usually make me smile, but then some of them have a more profound emotional effect. There's one of Laura holding a water bottle getting chemo. And it makes me just stop. I mean, I remember, I just stop. Stops everything. And I'm reminded in that moment of how faithful God was in the midst of our deepest hurt. And these Facebook memories, you know, they'll nudge me toward prayer and gratitude. I just wonder this morning if, you know, there's something going on in your life right now that you just say, where is God? I don't know what's happening. Maybe it's just the state of our country right now. Maybe it's a deep hurt that you feel inside. Maybe it's someone's really hurt you deeply and you're feeling it and you just can't seem to get rid of it. It's like, I want you to think back over your life. In fact, just close your eyes with me for a moment. Think back over your life. Think of those times that God came through for you. Maybe you want to think back all the way to the day of your salvation when you for the very first time stepped into that journey with Him and you're going, God, I'm here, it's you and me and I give everything to you, and He changed your life. See, God's writing a story. He's writing your story and He's not done yet. And I know it's crazy right now. I know that it's difficult right now. I know that it's scary right now. I know that we're in unprecedented waters right now and uncharted waters. But God is not far away. Maybe you're here and you just feel like, man, I just failed God so bad. I just failed God so bad over this whole time of quarantine and all that. I did not believe. I was angry. I was hurtful to my family, watched porn online, I did whatever it was. He's still the God of Jacob. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He names you. I'm still your God. I haven't gone anywhere. You come back to me. And that's exactly what needs to happen. He hasn't moved, and He's holding His arms out. And he's even running towards you. He's moving towards you right now. Would you just give Him that right now? God, in the midst of my fear, I remember. In the midst of my hurt, I remember. In the midst of my pain, I remember. Thank you, God. I pray that as we tell ourselves a new story, as we tell ourselves the real story, as maybe we begin to journal so we can remember all the things that you've done, because we've forgotten so many of them. Maybe there is a literal rock or something that we want to put somewhere that reminds us of your presence, or maybe it's just a painting or something like what Rod had. But God, let us remember. Don't let us forget. Our future holds blessings and our future holds battles. And the only way that we can make it through when the battle gets the roughest, when things get really hard, is if we remember. If we remember how good you are, how strong you are, how much you love us, that we're going to be with you forever, that we're going to rule and reign with you, that we're going to see you in all of your glory. And I just ask, God, that we would sense and feel even your presence right now. And even let us, some of us, mark this down. This might be the day that some of us step in for the very first time to you, and that we put down a stake or a stone of remembrance in the ground. This is where I did it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you that you haven't gone anywhere. Thank you that you know what's going on in the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, that it's you. And we trust you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Comunidad de Fe, I love you. I have watched you grow. I have watched God move. There are so many stones of remembrance in your lives. And I don't want you to forget that. Maybe you want to go back and you want to look at those stones, at those stories, and say, this is when God changed me. Maybe it's all the way back to the very time when you first stepped into this relationship with Christ. And you want to remember that. You've watched so many things happen. God is still on his throne. I know the economy is all over the place right now there. I know that the tourism industry is being decimated, but I also know that God knows you and he loves you and he holds you in his hand. Maybe it feels like he's a million miles away, but he's not. I love you, Comunidad de Fe. I pray for you. I love your pastor and his wife. I love all of your staff. And I thank you again for the opportunity just to share with you. Hang in there. Be strong. Be strong and courageous. God's got you.